school starts again in a few days, questions keep coming. Will it be in person, virtual, or hybrid? If it's in person, will there be mask mandatory or optional or not required? How many kids per classroom? How far apart? What does recess look like? What about serving a hot lunch? School's about to start and there are a lot of questions. Welcome to the latest episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. I'm Roger, subject matter expert in human capital management, marketing creative, and networking nerd. I'm in year six at the benefit companies. So if Alice Cooper were to rewrite his favorite song, School's Out, in today's climate, it might take a different tone. No more classrooms, no more hot lunch, no more field trips, no more recess. As schools figure out how the 2021-2022 year is going to look today, we're going to talk with a school leader who experienced something new when COVID hit. Our guest has been in education over 40 years, and you would think he had seen it all. And then COVID came along and gave him and every school administrator in the U.S. a new set of challenges. Welcome, Albert Amling, administrator at Hales Corners. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Roger. How are you doing today?
I am well. So we're going to talk about running a school, being responsible for hundreds of kids, working with their parents, managing a team of instructors, working with Hales Corners Lutheran Church as your partner, your relationships with other area schools and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and how the best laid plan for the 2019-2020 school year got derailed by COVID. Before we do, though, talk about your experience before joining Hales Corners Lutheran in 1995.
I'd love to. I've taught in schools from Nebraska to California, administrated schools in California, Wisconsin. I've coached everywhere I went. I love coaching basketball. So in that way, I still get to teach when I coach. So that's been a real passion of mine. We are blessed in that God has been very, very good to us as a family. And so I have a family of educators, five children. Four of them are in Christian education. My wife's a school principal in a Lutheran school. So God's been good to us. We've been around the block a couple of times. Our family dinners are quite interesting as we talk about COVID and all things education.
So where do you think that passion about education came from?
That is a really, really long story, Roger, that we don't have enough time for.
All right. What's the short version?
The short version? God put on my heart a long, long time ago. I want to do the very best we can for the kids that he sends us. And so each and every day we'd get up and do our very best for kids, even though sometimes it doesn't make sense financially. Sometimes it doesn't make sense with crises going on. But to navigate that has been my passion for kids.
So you mentioned Nebraska as a previous stop, but what brought you to Hales Corners Lutheran?
In 95, I had been administrating for 9 years in a school in Mequon, and I made a decision I wanted to get back in the classroom for a little bit, and Hales Corners opened up, and it was Pastor Mike and Mrs. Frank who were instrumental in getting me here as a teacher, and then things just kind of happened. Got back into administration.
So I've been at Hales Corners for 10 plus years now, so I have a little bit of history there, not as much as you. The campus used to be at another building, and then we moved to the one we're at now, and now there's been some major additions that have happened in the last handful of years. Talk about buildings and changes and those things, how those came about.
Oh, wow. How God works. We were in one campus. We were the Grange campus. Our church was too small for the number of parishioners we had. Our school was continuing to grow. I think late 90s, early 2000s, when education was booming and there was lots and lots of kids. We've had early childhood education for a very long time. We ended up buying a building where we put our childcare. And then we built a middle school right next to our church. And then 3 years ago, we finished that project by adding on for our elementary school and early childhood so that we're all back in one building, navigating three separate buildings. where each was excellent within its own right, but trying to keep that as a one was frankly really difficult. And we were able to manage it, but now that we're back on one campus, there's a fluidity that has not been around for 10 years. And so it's really exciting as the teachers, the parents, the pastoral staff, our church staff, our school staff, all work as one in the same building where we see each other every day. It's much more rewarding for me.
So as you referenced, getting everybody in one building and managing that is running a business. You're very much running a business. So you have employees, you have clients that come and go, mm-hmm. opportunities to grow and change to stay relevant. What's your philosophy or mission statement for running this business?
You're absolutely right. It is a business. At the same time, it's a ministry. And blending the ministry and the business is really difficult because what is generally a good financial decision might not be the best education decision. So trying to stay on that line and balance has been an experience. What we've tried to do and where philosophy, where I've come from, is that do what's best for kids. And at the end of the day, it'll be okay because God's got to bless that. So we've made some hard decisions, hard financial decisions that were best for kids. But as a school over the last 26 years that I've been there, we've been able to maintain a strong school in a changing environment. We have a pretty good reputation throughout the community, the Lutheran school community, and there's been some schools that have struggled that were once giants and some that have struggled. And for us, change upon change upon change is something that we embrace while at the same time understanding that no one really likes change.
So talking about change, so the 1920 school year, we're almost done. March, you're going, oh, we're just about wrapping it up. And then we have a COVID scenario. So saying that it's different was an understatement. This is something you've never seen before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's your first reaction when you're having orders coming down from folks you haven't dealt with before? Now we're talking about government orders coming your way. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Frankly, it was entirely new to me. And my gut reaction, my first reaction, we were going into spring break. Okay, we can get ready for this. So spring break changed for teachers, for parents, for everybody at that time. But okay, this will last 2 or 3 weeks and we'll be back to normal. So we pivoted. We have been through the years strong in technology and utilizing technology for instruction, not technology all by itself, but for instruction and integrated. So we were fairly well prepared for at home or a hybrid. Now, that spring, it was all at home. And so it was different. The 6th through 8th graders, they managed pretty well, frankly. The teachers managed pretty well after that first week. It took about a week for them to find a rhythm. And then our K-5 teachers, early childhood teachers, they did the very best they could for what was going on. Yes, I had to make decisions. But the real brunt of that struggle for me was on the teachers' backs. They managed that so incredibly well. And it's not just our building. I really believe it was the teachers across the country who really managed and took the brunt of what COVID meant, because they were in it day to day with their 20 to 25 kids each and every day, trying to maintain that relationship that's critical for learning, as well as the academics that are critical for learning. So blending those two things, frankly, they were magicians to make that happen that spring.
So you were getting direction not only from the church, but you're getting it from everywhere. You're getting it from the feds, the state, county, the health department, getting input from other schools in the area. The Missouri Synod Lutheran Church is chiming in as well. Talk about how you and the leadership at the school and the church navigated all that. How did you decide what to do? What's the process?
We gathered information from everybody. all of those that you mentioned, I won't restate those. We looked everywhere. We made a decision that we want to do what was best for kids and parishioners. So as a church and a school, we want to be the best for them. And we determined that the best thing we could do for them is for us to be at home for a while. Now, when we moved into the 21-22 school year, one of the things that we do really well at Hales Corners is build relationships. And we're a relationship-oriented school. And I really think that's one of the hallmarks of our particular school. We had to shift from welcoming parents into the building to saying, no, parents, you have to stay out so we can create relationships with your kids by them being here in school. So that was a hard choice for us, but we made it. At church, we continued to be online and we kept getting better at it. Frankly, we're moving forward, that's going to be a great asset for our church. That online presence that we have today that we really have not had. So we grew from that. At school, we miss our parents, frankly. We have a great cafe that our parents gathered at each morning. And our parents missed that, but they understood why we were doing what we were doing. We are totally looking forward to our next school year where we're anticipating, God willing, that we'll be able to welcome parents back in the building this fall. That's exciting for us. So how did we make those decisions? Consultation with a lot with our own village. I spent time with our public school leaders, our village leaders, our pastoral staff, where we gathered as much information as we could. We decided early we didn't want to be the outlier. We didn't want to be the one school who does it one way or the other. We wanted to be a team and address it together so that parents couldn't shop from school to school to school, or district or decision making. Now, frankly, we added students this last year because we were face-to-face all year long, other than when there were 2 weeks where we were not face-to-face because of the contact tracing and, frankly, teachers being sick. I couldn't fill the building enough with subs. But our teachers, I'm going back to the teacher thing again. I'm just going to keep preaching that. Wow. They were on it. They went after it. They prepared. They worked hard at not being sick. So they really, really went beyond their comfort zone to be able to deliver to our students a face-to-face education this past school year. So that's where the real, real heroes are for me. I'm in the education world. It's not the people who made the decisions. It was the people who carried them out day to day.
So that's good that you're bragging on the teachers, of course. How are they doing?
They are.
It's a new year, so maybe it's going to be better. Or where's the stress? I don't know.
Right now, in every school year, there's a rhythm that happens. For elementary and early childhood teachers, for us, right around August 1, their clocks start ticking really quick. Middle school teachers, it's about the 15th. Those are normal right now. I was able to spend some time with them this past Tuesday evening. We had a gathering, which was exciting because we were able to be together as people because they're actually friends. We like each other. So we spend time with each other. Their normal clocks are getting ready for the school year. Now, do they understand that there's a buzz going on right now because there's a variant and things could change? Yes. But now they've experienced it for a year, so they know how to roll with the punches. So they're ready. They're ready. We would love to be back to whatever normal is.
I would bet that the kids would love to see that too. So how are the kids? You've talked with all the kids too. How are they doing through this mess?
Better than the adults.
Tell me how.
Kids just roll with the punches. Change is not as difficult for them as it is for the adults. Now, I'm not suggesting that they were not impacted by wearing a mask all year long and the social distancing that had to happen. They, like everybody else in our world, were impacted by it. But they rolled with it better than anybody else.
You mentioned the parents. They came to the cafe, or a bunch did, and they liked the social aspect too. How are the parents doing? How did they deal with this? Because I'm sure they had opinions like everybody else.
through May, early May of this school year, they were phenomenal. They really were. They were so happy that their kids were able to be at school. They were as supportive and as positive as they could possibly be. Starting in about May, when the mask rules were changing, in every population of people, there's those that are the 10% that like what you're doing, the 10% that don't like what you're doing, and the people in between. The 10% who didn't like the masks made that very well known to me. And we had to make a decision. Should we change at the end of a school year, or should we just finish strong? We chose to finish strong and not change what we were doing. Were there a few people that were upset and let me know about it? Sure, that goes with the territory. Leadership is hard because you have to say no to people while at the same time saying, hey, please keep coming. Please keep giving us your tuition dollars. That is leadership. It's not saying yes to everybody. It's actually knowing how to say the word no with getting buy-in from people.
So I'm smiling and laughing as you're saying that because I've seen the same thing at church, obviously. Mm-hmm. We saw similar things happening here in this building. So when we first had the opportunity to say, okay, folks, if you want to go work at home or work some kind of hybrid schedule, let's test drive that and figure it out. And we did. And a bunch of folks did go home and still be able to knock the business out. So we got to a point then where, okay, we've been doing this for a while, and now we feel comfortable. We're gonna take a survey, find out how everybody's doing, and invite people to come back if they wanted to do that. And we started bringing people back, and it was really cool. And it was great for the folks like me who were here almost every day. And there was only maybe a dozen of us that were doing that during the biggest stretch of that. So people coming back, and we're chatting, we're in a great mood, we're having fun. Then, as you described, the mask mandate came out. Everybody put on a mask, and it was like a tomb in here, even though everybody was in the building. It took a couple of days to get past that so that we were like, okay, we can still function and live with a mask on. So we've seen the ups and downs in here in this building, even as you're describing. And of course, we see it at church as well. We're getting to a certain point at church where things are, you know, getting close. In fact, we had our first praise team rehearsal in 15 months last night, and it was pretty cool. So I understand what you're saying. It's really interesting, though, to figure out how to navigate folks who are and were germaphobes even before this started. Mm-hmm. Folks who, they really don't care. And everybody in between. And how do you make everybody happy? And we have a couple of folks like that who have their own space in the building now. And they're still coming in, but they have their own office kind of isolated out so that they don't have to deal with that. And we're still doing business and everything's fine. But it's just interesting.
Interesting one side note. For me personally, I'm on the end that doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Right? That's me personally.
I'm over there too.
However, that's not my job.
Exactly.
My job is to meet the needs of the people. Right. And so I have to adapt what I personally want to do because that's the good for the whole. Mm-hmm. And that was hard at times because people believed me to be way over here, but that was the opposite of who I am personally. But to meet the needs of the whole, you have to adapt to them.
Understood. So let's take a minute then and talk about it. Let's shift gears and talk about how you personally, if you want to go there, but the school as well, do work or reach out into the Hales Corners community. What do you do there?
We spend time with our community through our Chamber of Commerce. We spend time there. We have opportunity for folks to reach out. I would tell you that we have to get better at it. That's kind of one of the things that I'm doing moving forward is spending more time helping our church become better acquainted with our community. It's not that we don't want to help them because we reach out internationally. We reach out across the states. We reach out inside the city with our mission offerings. But in our very, very local community in Hales Corners, we're not as good. So that's one of the things I want to work on, to get better, that we've identified as a church we want to get better at.
So that leads to the point of what your title was last year as opposed to what it is now. So you are no longer the principal in charge of Hales Corners Lutheran Church. You have a different title, even though you're working next to. Talk about that.
Sure, I'd love to. For half of my time, I'm spending time with Ebenezer, which is our food pantry. I'm spending time with our Steepleview folks. I'm spending time with our Chamber of Commerce. I'm doing some behind the scenes kinds of things at school, transitioning some of the responsibilities from our pastor who became our principal. So there's some transitions going on. It's helping do that. The balance of my time, I'm actually consulting with schools across the country. And that's kind of fun, actually. Our church body is divided into 35 districts. And the English district, which our church belongs to, is a non-geographic district, which means I'm helping schools from California to Florida, Arizona, and a lot in the upper Midwest. So I'll be doing a little bit more travel.
So maybe you can give us one example. What is something you would consult on? What are they trying to grab from you?
I'm old. I've been around a long time. So one of the things I do is I consult with principals, especially new and young ones, helping them with whatever I've gone through to help them with their next step in their growing process.
Makes sense. Okay. So here's an opportunity. Now, I always give guests the opportunity to do this. Give me a commercial for Hales Corners Lutheran School. Tell us why Hales Corners Lutheran School is a great place to bring a kid for education.
This is easy. This is the fun part for me. Of course, I'm an educator. Of course, I'm going to tell you that our academics are exceptional. And they are. But that's not what makes us different. It's our kids are great. Public schools have great kids. Our teachers are awesome. Public schools have awesome teachers. Here's the difference. Jesus and the parents. The parents buy into the culture of what we're trying to establish, so much so that they'll spend their tuition dollars, their hard-earned dollars, their discretionary income for the Christian education of their children. And that is what makes the difference in our school, where I've got 98% of our parents are on board, knowing that their child's job is to go to school and do the things that to happen in a school day so that they can become the children of God that God wants them to be, not who the parents want them to be, not who the teachers want them to be, but whom God wants them to be. And that, I believe, is the difference because of the relationships built between teachers. Love the kids, not because they have to, but because they want to. And I get to go to other places in the country. I get to see other Lutheran schools. We're blessed at Hales Corners. So please, send your kids. It'll be the best investment you've ever made.
Can hear the passion. I appreciate that. So I really have one more thing I kind of want you to talk on for whatever feels comfortable. But I always try to connect what we do here to what the guests that I bring in, what they do. And in this case, you know, we have a connection, obviously, at Hales Corners. That's one. But beyond that, you had to navigate running a business the last couple of years, just like we did, where we had to make some changes. Our game plan got disrupted, as did yours, as did everybody's. So we both went into a different type of business model. We continued to adjust, pivot, etc. We stayed true to our mission. You stayed true to yours. And we came out on the other side, still in a great position to do what we do. And you've already talked about how you've done the same. So give me one or two things that this particular pandemic scenario, whatever you want to call it, what it gave you to prepare yourself to succeed as you continue to go forward.
I think something that's critical in both your business model and our school's business model is that change is going to happen. We have to embrace it. And while how we do the business has to be able to change based on what the circumstances of life is, what doesn't change is your mission. Love kids. Do what's best for kids. Love your customer. Do what's best for your customer. Whatever your mission is, stay true to that. That doesn't change. The delivery options, the delivery methods, those have to change because the world is changing. And will always be changing. Even though one of the teachers told me Tuesday night. Albert, I don't like change. I know. But here's the key. We have to be able to keep changing whilst maintaining our vision, our passion, and our focus for whatever business model you're working with.
Nice. All right. So we talked about a bunch of stuff. Is there anything we didn't talk about? Do you want to make sure that you got across before we wrap up this discussion today? Anything else?
I saw a t-shirt on the way here as I was driving this morning. It said, be kind.
That pretty much wraps it up.
There you go.
All right. Appreciate you, Albert. Thanks for, good to see you as always. So thanks for coming in today. I really do appreciate that. And of course, wish you well on all the new things going on. And I'm sure you'll keep us up to speed on that. And if there's a way we can help whoever we is over there at that campus, you better tell us what that is so we can help out. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Roger. It's been fun. And I look forward to the rest of the day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. Until next time, be well.
We appreciate you giving us a listen and learning about the benefit companies. Find our podcasts and everything you want to know about our trademark human capital management platform, Connect and Simplify, at connectandsimplify.com. You can also find our podcasts at Podbean, Pandora, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Thanks for listening.